I wanted to start today by reading something to you that was written by Paramahansa Yogananda from the book that is a collection of a lot of his writings called How to Be Happy All the Time. I don't know the original source of this particular reading, but it says, "The purpose of human life is to find God. That is the only reason for our existence. Pray thus to God. My infinite beloved, I know that thou art nearer than these words with which I pray, nearer even than my nearest thoughts. Behind my every restless feeling, may I feel thy concern for me and thy love. Behind my awareness, may I feel sustained and guided by thy consciousness. Behind my love for thee, may I become ever more deeply conscious of thy love." And then Master says, "If you continuously pray to him in this way, and if you pray with all sincerity, you will feel his presence suddenly as a great joy in your heart. In that bursting joy, you will know that he is with you and that he is your very own." What beautiful words that he speaks about that moment when you feel that joy, whenever that moment comes, that you become perfectly aware of God's presence, which is what he's saying to us. And inherent in that, implicit in that, is really the time and place and our intellect and whatever knowledge we've acquired is really irrelevant. That this great joy that comes, and the way he speaks of this bursting joy, that it's simply there, that we find ourselves in a moment of absolute truth. I love this reading. You know, I awakened this morning from a dream that was a dream of, it was a dream based sort of very accurately around a true experience that I had many years ago now. Many people have heard me tell this story, but it's certainly worth telling again. It's always worth telling again, as these moments of truth and real inspiration are. I'm in a relationship now with my partner, and the relationship is 33 years old. And we're really in a very beautiful, mutually loving, mutually respectful relationship that's become a great friendship. That's all I need to say about it now. However, the road was a little bumpy getting there. And there were many moments early on where I felt I needed to leave him. And the main reason in my mind for all of that is that he was not on a dedicated spiritual path as I am. And one time, I don't know now how many years ago this was, but it was many. It could be 18 or 19 years ago. I wrote him a letter, and I very carefully explained why we needed to separate. He was at that time still living on the East Coast, and I was on the West Coast, so I put it in a letter. Shame on me, but there you have it. And I explained to him that the relationship really was not viable. But I did it with a lot of heart. And he called me immediately, and he was totally surprised by this letter, which he probably should not have been, but nonetheless he was, because this was coming. And I was here in an apartment, and it's one of those experiences where I remember exactly where I was pacing. When it came to me, I felt Master's presence, and I knew. I didn't hear words, but I knew, Shanti, as long as you and Barry are in human bodies, he's yours. Right in the middle of this, wasn't quite an argument because I was so definitive, but right in the middle, that came to me. It just stopped me in my tracks. And I said to myself, wow, I'm really not happy here. So what am I going to do? Because I knew it was the truth. And the next thing that I heard was, every time you look at him, every time you look into his eyes, you must see Divine Mother looking right back out at you. And then one more phrase, which is, you will never see anything wrong with him again. That was a very powerful message. I just stopped where I was. I mean, it really happened just like this. I just said to Barry, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I mean, that was it. I didn't say anything to Barry about it. But that truth, that message, that when you look at Barry, you will only see God moving forward. How could you see anything wrong with God? Really, how could any of us, if we were sitting in a room with Master or with Swamiji, would we be weighing up their mistakes, their limitations? Of course not. Of course we wouldn't. And what came to me in the moment, which then has expanded, thankfully, very much with God's grace throughout my life, is that is always true. I've been given Barry as a way of practicing that. And of course, that happens to be particularly difficult with our partners. We're with them all the time. We've probably chosen them, at least in many instances, because they're such close, intimate relationships. They're so much at the core of our life that we get to see so much of ourselves reflected back. There are so many opportunities for spiritual growth in those relationships if we're paying attention. Well, that got my attention. I've said this many times, but just to finish that little, this little part of it, I never said a word to Barry. But within 3 days, everything about our relationship was changing. He wasn't changing. Not really. I changed. And he was changing in the sense that the place I had moved into of practicing pure divine love, just the beginning of that practice, was certainly affecting everything. So it was affecting him. He was feeling unconditionally loved for the first time in all of those years of the relationship. But also we were resting in that place of pure joy, of absolute truth. I remember I had an experience once of being, I was leading a training and I had to miss a night. And I missed the night and somebody else was running the training that night. It was a year-long training. And within the next day, people started writing to me and calling me and telling me that one of the people in the group had really become very angry with somebody else who was part of our community and was really acting out in the group, saying very mean things about this person and using language that, I mean, language that never even comes to me in my own mind, never mind out loud and in a group. And I called the person who was leading. I heard this from about three people. And I said, did you stop it? Did you work with it? Did you say anything about it? And he said, no, I thought it was just better to let it run. So I certainly didn't. So I invited the person who was speaking out like that to come and see me. And I said to him, you know, we need to talk about what that means to you, that you felt comfortable bringing that energy into the group and just owning it and working with it. And I mean, over a period of about 5 minutes and using that language, which carries with it such a downward pulling vibration, to say the least. And he was arguing with me. So finally, I just got very quiet. And I said to him, let me ask you a question. If Swamiji had been in the room, would you have spoken like that? And he said to me, of course not. And I said, do you actually believe, and are you trying to practice, that God is in everyone, that we are all perfect manifestations of that divine energy? He said, yes. I said, then Swamiji was in the room, and Master was in the room. It was such another poignant moment, such another experience of that. That led me to beginning to practice that as much as I can. As I said, that was probably 18 years ago. It took me a number of years to say to myself, you don't just practice this with Barry. This is truth. And not only is every person that you meet and every experience that you have with them, God Himself coming to you, all of it is perfectly designed for you, perfectly designed. So you have to keep looking for that, for God manifesting in everyone. We have to begin to work in so many little ways, moment by moment by moment, because as we do that, over time, we begin to feel those moments of joy in our heart that we can only feel when we're having an experience of God. And we get so surprised that we can find them even with people, maybe even especially with people who have been particularly troubling to us, because we have to work a little harder. We have to be constantly bowing to the divine in everyone. And again, certainly what a beautiful practice when we're having trouble with people. But remembering that God has to find ways to come to us and to speak to us and say, I am here with you. I wouldn't have told this story, but it was actually the story I wanted to start with, and I forgot, so I'm going to tell it now. This will just wind up being a half hour of storytelling, but they're great stories. I've been in this community for 20 years now, and I made many moves in the first maybe 2 years that I was here. And it came to me at some point that I should be in a townhouse, because I knew I would open up that home, that it wouldn't be my home, that it would become a home for the community. And I needed more money to do that. This is a whole big part of the story that I don't want to go into, but I had taken a year of sabbatical. We'll just leave it that, sabbatical from everything. I'm a physician. I thought I'll just come to California. I'll be living in the community. I'll move back here and I'll go back to work. But it turned out that I couldn't go back to work. There were all these roadblocks for me. I simply couldn't get my license renewed, is the bottom line. So a year later, I was pretty much running out of cash. And one day, I got really annoyed with God. And I went into our little temple here, and I started praying. And I said, if I'm going to make this move, you need to give me $5,000. That's what I need. In a way, for a physician who would be working, it wouldn't have been that much money. But in some divine plan, I had not been able to work. So it was a lot of money. And I said to God, I hear all these stories about how you appear to everyone, you give people money when they need them, all of these miracles. I want a miracle from you. I want $5,000. This was on a Sunday. I hadn't collected my mail for about 5 days. I go to my mailbox after sitting in our little temple here for a couple of hours, basically yelling at God, and I open my mailbox, and in my mailbox is a check from a dear friend in Boston for $5,000. And in there is a note saying, we know you're wrestling with the whole notion of money right now, and you're not working, and you of all people should not have to worry about money. We're giving you $5,000. So I go home and I call them that right then. And I say, this is ridiculous. I am not taking your money. You know, and I know I'm going to go back to work. In fact, I have money. I just don't have, it's not liquid right now. I'm not taking this. And they said, of course you're taking it. It's not that much to us. We want you to have it. And then the thought comes to me, Shanti, you just spent 2 hours yelling at God to give you $5,000. What did you think? Did you think he was going to appear in physical form in your apartment? This is God. This money is coming from God. Of course you'll take this money. Just as a little parenthetical bit of humor, about 4 years later, my friend decides she's missing me in Boston. She just goes online to look up. And she said, I just wanted a hit of Shanti. She goes to look for a talk. And she pulls up this talk where I'm saying, the money wasn't really from them. It was from God. She writes me, can you please give us a little credit here? It was very cute. But all by way of saying, God comes to us all the time in ways that we're not expecting. There is nothing but God. So everything that comes, everything is a perfect gift from us, perfect for that moment, at that time in our life with the money. It was about many things for me, but it was certainly about humility and really being able to receive from God in that way. As somebody who had lived her life having trouble receiving, with my partner, this amazing gift of being able to begin to practice unconditional love. What a gift that is, of being able to share those moments with that man in the group and remind myself, you are always in the presence of the divine. He got it, but so did I, that every moment affords us that opportunity to open our hearts. When we listen to Swamiji, in so many talks that he gave, where he's speaking about how to find God and how to find true love, and he repeats and he tells so many wonderful stories from India, from everywhere, some true, some not, about people who searched for God for years, for decades, in some intellectual way, capacity. But it wasn't until that moment when they opened their heart, when they found their hearts bursting with joy, that in a moment they would experience the divine after their searches had proved to be so dry until then. You know, Sukadeva, I mean, we heard it from Master. We know it from Lahiri Mahashaya, but Sukadeva, who said, every minute in our life that is not spent searching for God is a waste. And now we look at these stories and we say to ourselves, we don't have to go very far. We need to begin a practice where every time we look in somebody's eyes, we just begin a little practice. This is God. What a beautiful reminder as we think of how Indians, namaste, I bow to the divine in you. Whether you're feeling it or believing it or not, practice it. Just bow before every person that you meet, even mentally. Just bow mentally to the boss that you're having trouble with, to the partner that you're really struggling with, to whoever it is. It doesn't matter. I said to a friend of mine the other day who was struggling with something, and he was getting a lot of meannesses of the heart from this other person. And he just kept going back and looking again and again. Many of us would have run from that. It was hard. It was mean. And I wrote my friend a letter the next day, and I said, there is so much courage in what you're doing that you keep going back. I'm watching you look for any kernel of truth. And he wrote me a note, and he said to me, that's true, but this is what we've signed up for. So what else can we say but yay, God, here and here and here? What wisdom and what beauty that even when it's hard, because in God's mind, if you will, of course, that's a figure of speech, but not in the presence of the divine. It doesn't matter if it's the most challenging moment of our life until that point, or if it's the most exquisitely beautiful and obvious for us, love-filled moment. God is everywhere. So whether it's easy or hard, whether it's filled with love or rage coming at you, or criticism, it doesn't really matter. The more we dive deeply into the divine of it, God is everywhere and everything. It cannot be anything other than God. And we, as devotees who have signed on for this, in the word of my friend, we have to just meet that with that impersonal nature of divine love. That's what it teaches us, to love God in everything, to expand, to rise up from the personal aspects of love or hate, the ego-driven, the emotional, and bring that to the divine, which is equanimity, pure equanimity. It doesn't know any emotion. It's away from good or bad, right or wrong, love or hate. There is no duality in that heart bursting with the joy of the divine. Swamiji said an interesting thing in a talk he gave on this. I mean, interesting is not the word. It was so sweet. He was talking about how do we practice this, because we have to keep practicing it. As Master said, the minutes are more important than the years. We will not be ready for these big tests that we get. We were getting them and we will get them. That's what the spiritual path is. We will be tested. They're harder. They're wrestling with the last little vestiges of our karma. Very challenging. if we don't practice, we are not just going to be able to call on, oh, now I have to see it's God. No, it's God, 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 God. And then when the bigger tests come, we're practiced, we're rehearsed. Swamiji said, set a reminder for yourself throughout the day. He said, find chimes. Chimes. Isn't that just perfect from Swamiji? A reminder in the form of chimes. Because they're so beautiful. They're so crystal clear. They really feel astral. And remind yourself, remember God. Remember God. We know all the other ways we do it. All the company we keep, we've been over all of those so many times. But now we remember, go deeper in our meditation. Master God, help me to remember that you are everywhere. Every moment of my life is an opportunity to find you and to feel that perfect divine joy in the center of my heart, and that realization, that pure, unconditional, divine love that in the, how did Master say it here? It's so beautiful. That behind every restless feeling, may I feel thy concern for me and thy love. Behind my awareness, may I feel sustained and guided by thy consciousness. And behind my love for thee, may I become ever more deeply conscious of thy love. And I will add, and may I live in that truth.